What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton. This podcast is available on all platforms. Wherever you're getting your podcast from, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. You can find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also find me on the Twitter /Xverse at Sports Business. That's SPRTZBIZNESS. You can also email the show, sportsbusiness@gmail.com. That is SPRTZBIZNESS@gmail.com. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about our winners and losers of the NFL Week 15 recap. Definitely going to talk about our NBA fast break takes. And then before we get up out of here, we're going to do the dummy of the day. But first things first, you know, your boy went to UFC 296 over the weekend. And I got to say, that was my first time ever attending a MAGA national convention, it looked like. And the cool part about it was, imagine going to the MAGA national convention. Your boy El Chapo, a.k.a. Donald Trump, is in the building. And the little puppeteer or the mascot of MAGA, a.k.a. Kobe Covington, goes into the main event talking mad cash and literally doesn't do anything and gets his ass whooped for about 25 minutes. Huh. Interesting. It's neither here or there, but it was pretty disappointing to see the MAGA poster boy go up in there and lay an egg. And not gonna lie, a lot of those people went home pretty big mad. So about four or five different fights where Las Vegas Metropolitan Police had to intervene. But yeah, didn't know that I was going to a MAGA rally over the weekend, but it is what it is. Had a great time. Other than that, the card was pretty good. It was cool. It was a vibe, but you know, it is what it is. But other than that, let me also be the first person to wish you and your family a happy holidays. It is that time of the year where things start winding down for us. You're with your family, but think about those people who are not with their family or people that are struggling with coping of a loss of a family member. Think about those people and to reach out to them because they might need a little bit more leaning throughout this time of the year than any other time of the year, I should say. So happy holidays, but you know, hit somebody up, tell them you love them. It only takes 2 seconds, so make sure you make that happen. But hey man, let's talk about these Week 15 games. First and foremost, I said last week on the show, the NFL, I get it that there's usually after the Army-Navy game, there are no more college football games until the bowl games, and the NFL tries to capitalize on a couple of Saturday games. I've never really been a fan of the Saturday games because I'm too busy. I got things to do. Most families are already doing the holiday shopping. They got family in town, all that other good jazz. Can't be out here just watching football 48 hours, you know, for Saturday and Sunday and a little bit over to Monday, but I ran some errands Saturday morning. I was able to come home for a short little time. And I caught the end of the Vikings-Bengals game. And I ain't gonna lie, I was kind of surprised or kind of impressed. It was two backup quarterbacks that were, quote-unquote, I wasn't gonna say Jake Browning's been trash, but it hasn't been good. And before I left, I walked away from that game thinking like, hey, that was actually kind of an entertaining game from the little bit I saw. The Bible say about middle of the fourth quarter to overtime. Your boy was a little entertained, so, you know, it is what it is. But my Week 15 winners, speaking of the Bengals, like I said, I walked into about halfway through the fourth quarter. They was down by whatever the score was at the gate, and they sat there and ripped off 21 points in the fourth quarter and made a crazy catch by, I believe that was T. Higgins, and made that touchdown grab to tie the game up, and then they ended up going in overtime. But, hey, as bad as a lot of these backup quarterbacks have been this year, Jake Browning has been probably one of the more better stories in this year's quarterback carousel. So the Bengals are still, I ain't going to say still, they are in the driver's seat. It was one of those last wild card playoff spots with a record of 8-6, but their defense has been solid. Joe Mixon, you know, Bay Area kid, still making things happen, but Jake Browning looks, I'm not going to say he's up there with Joe Burrow, but he's not turning the ball over. The defense is still locked in, keyed in, and making things happen. So, you know, great win by the Bengals. It was a really, really entertaining game. But for them to still rip off, I believe it's three games in a row now with Jake Browning that they've won, that's nothing to flinch at. So that's my first set of winners. My next set are the, come on now, I don't even know why I need to keep putting this team in every week, but until I see this team lose in the Super Bowl, which is my expectation, the San Francisco 49ers, they're many, many moons better than everybody else. Like, I literally recorded this show late as of this recording after the Monday night game because I wanted to see what the Eagles and Seahawks would do. And the Eagles ended up laying another egg here in Seattle. So this basically solidifies the 49ers as probably the best team. Now, granted, we're going to find out this Monday who, you know, this is possibly a Super Bowl matchup with them playing against the Ravens. But for them to go to Arizona, which I kind of initially, when I woke up Sunday morning, I was like, man, this kind of giving me trap game vibes. Like, I just felt like it was a trap game. Came off of a huge win last weekend. And for them to kind of, you know, lull into Arizona, that, you know, Arizona definitely plays hard, but at the same time, you know, it is what it is. But they were able to make some things happen. Of course, they gave up a couple of big plays, but the game was kind of out of hand at that point. But the defense is super duper locked in. Charvarius Ward finally is starting to look like a all-pro DB that we've known him to be, with two picks. I mean, you have Christian McCaffrey, who I feel like is an MVP in this league, with a whole bunch of touchdowns again. You know, a lot of people are saying it should be Brock Purdy. I'm not mad at that, but I like to try to see, in a year where quarterback play has been garbage, that, you know, another different position gets some love. So I would vote for Christian McCaffrey this year. So, and like I said, until I see the Niners lose in the Super Bowl, because that is my expectation, anything less than a trip to the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas, that's a failure. And I just think that you got to blow that team up if they don't make it to the Super Bowl. So the 49ers, enjoy this victory. You have a huge game this Christmas Monday. Speaking of, side note, I posted this on social media and I forgot who it was, but he wanted to say, I'm a hater of the NBA. First of all, didn't nobody tell the NBA to schedule them boo-boo games on Christmas Day when there's three NFL games that are going on Monday with a possible Super Bowl matchup with Baltimore against San Francisco? I'm telling y'all right now, ain't nobody watching them damn NBA games. Like, I don't know who's playing. I know the Nuggets are playing the Warriors, and that's not even the marquee game. I can't tell you who else. I know the Knicks and the Celtics are probably playing first thing in the morning, but ain't nobody going to be watching them basketball games, which is kind of crazy. And we're going to talk about those NBA fast break takes, but the NFL kind of lucked up this year with Christmas being on Monday, because they got this thing on gridlock. So, yeah, no one's watching basketball on Christmas this year. It's not happening. Not happening at all. My next set of winners. I hate to say it. It really, really, really pains me to say this, because I think this team is so trash. I don't think they are as good as what they are. But for some reason, my man Jose Flacco and the Cleveland Browns keep trying to prove me wrong. I thought I was writing out my script for the show, and I was almost about to pencil in the Chicago Bears as my winners, and they somehow tricked that game away when Jose Flacco almost threw his fourth interception in the game and was able to turn around and throw that, I'm not going to say a lucky pass, but it was a lucky pass to Amari Cooper, who took it to the house, and they were able to kind of make things happen on that back end. And even with the Hail Mary pass that Justin Fields threw, and Darnell Mooney almost caught the ball on his butt, hey man, I don't know what Jose Flacco's doing. Even with three picks, they're still able to win a very, very competitive game. And as bad as they looked on offense, the defense still came through and bailed them out. But hey, this team is still they still got a chance for the playoffs at 9-5. And, you know, depending on how the Ravens look, they might even be able to win the division, which would be wild to be for the simple fact that they are on their fourth starting quarterback. But it looks like Jose Flacco has that job on lockdown, which leads me to think, if Jose Flacco is able to, I don't know, let's just say the Browns are 9-5 right now, he's able to rip off two more wins. That would put somebody at like 11-7. With Deshaun Watson coming back next year, I know that you owe him a whole bunch of money, but I don't know if you can try to trade that man, which is probably unrealistic. But if Jose Flacco is able to make things happen, not only for the rest of the season, and able to make a very, very loud playoff, you know, playoff thing, and which I would say maybe one, maybe two playoff wins, it might be some rumblings down there in Cleveland. So just something to kind of keep your eye on. My next set of winners are the Indianapolis Colts. Now, that's another Saturday doozy game where another backup quarterback playing another backup quarterback, which There's this rumors that Kenny Pickett is trying to rush back. First of all, Kenny Pickett, take your time, bro. Take your time. You ain't coming back to save this team. Because low-key, you're part of the problem, too. You ain't... I'm not been so big on this Kenny Pickett sensation. I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's going to ease the franchise quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, Kenny Pickett, take your time, bro. There's no reason for you to rush back because the offense is still going to look the way it is. But the Indianapolis Colts, Gardner Minshew being able to put up a 30 spot against that defense of the Steelers, because that's what's keeping it a buck. That is the only thing I've kept the Steelers in a lot of these games, of won in the games. If you think about that weird Monday Night Football game when it was the Steelers against the Browns, that offense looked so bad. It was their defense, I think, that had like one or two defensive scores. So the Colts to be able to go in without Michael Pittman, without Jonathan Taylor, and still be able to beat, you know, significantly beat them where the game wasn't really that competitive, especially going into the fourth quarter, I should say. You know, that speaks on coaching. I think the Colts got it right with the coach that they have. It's a shame that Anthony Richardson, who was supposed to be their starting franchise quarterback this year, has missed a lot of game. But Gardner Minshew has been able to hold the fort down. The defense has been playing lights out. And all of the other role players on the offensive side of the ball has been able to step up. So shout out to the Colts. They're also another team that, lowest of low keys, might be able to win the division in the AFC South. I know that the Jaguars are still in the driver's seat, but the way the Jaguars have looked these last 3 weeks is not far-fetched. And my last set, speaking of AFC South, let's talk about those Houston Texans. Without their franchise quarterback CJ Stroud, they go into Tennessee, play a very, very backup quarterback-ish. Feels like that's the theme of today's show. Another backup quarterback-ish type of deal with, what's my man's name? I'm looking at the dude right now dead in his face. Anyways, the backup quarterback that played for the Texans was able to sit there and beat the Tennessee Titans. The defense played really, really lights out. Will Levis, hey, I think the Titans might be onto something with that Will Levis kid. I think he is very, very, he has a lot of ups stock. There's a lot of positive things. He's going to have to learn how to slide a little bit as opposed to trucking everybody over. But I think Will Levis is the real deal. But this isn't about Will Levis. This is about the Houston Texans, and that defense is lights out. If I am the AP and if I are Associated Press, I would say that you might as well go ahead and pencil in D'Amico Ryan's name for Coach of the Year in this year. So shout out for the Houston Texans for being able to win with their backup quarterback, and it made things happen. So those are your Week 15 winners, and let's all move on over to the losers. First of all, this is a team that I just despise. It ain't even just because I'm a Raider fan, but also just the fact that the boys are just corny, man. Like, I'm just keeping it a buck. Like, between Russell Wilson, Sean Payton, and just everything else with the Denver Broncos this year, I never have been sold on them after they got that 70 burger put up on them, and they won, I believe, five or six games in a row. Like, if you look at those wins, they was against a whole bunch of bums. So I wasn't necessarily really sold on them boys all like that. And this past Saturday night, they lay an egg in Detroit, which makes it even worse is that Detroit, yeah, they cool and all, but Detroit and Jacksonville are about to, they run along the same lines where they're a team that's going to make the playoffs, but I don't have really high expectations with them as far as what they're going to do in the playoffs. Like, they can go in, their stock can be anywhere as high as, yeah, they might be able to win two playoff games, or they'll win their wild card game and get smoked by either the Cowboys or the 49ers. I'm talking about Detroit. The same thing I would say about Jacksonville is they might get smoked against, possibly Kansas City and Baltimore right now. So I just don't see that at all. But the Denver Broncos, like I said, they I've never been on the Kool-Aid with them. I think the whole Sean Payton and Russell Wilson experiment has not went well. Sean Payton's out here just blowing up in my man's face, which, I mean, all jokes aside, I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was hilarious that this dude is having a temper tantrum because, hey man, you got the wrong job, bro. Like, this team ain't really going nowhere. So, like I said, I'm looking at the Denver Broncos. They're 7-7 right now. The point differential is a -7. That shows me everything I need to know about the Denver Broncos, is that they, even though they've won 6 in a row, the point differential tells me something different. They're 4-5 within their conference. They're barely winning at home. They barely winning on the road. It's just a team that just ain't that good. which is wild because they're still not really mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. But I don't believe in this team, and they got what they got. So that is your first set. Your next set is the Atlanta Falcons. First of all, the Falcons and the Panthers should have been both losers this weekend just because they had, like, me and whoever else is listening to this podcast, which I'm pretty sure is probably triple the amount of people that actually showed up to that game. But the Atlanta Falcons, which I was actually a few weeks ago trying to stall out my man, the head coach, Arthur Smith, but that's a game you kind of got to win when you're in a trash division like the NFC South, where it's between the Falcons, the Buccaneers, and the Saints, where one of those three teams probably is not even going to finish above 500, but can still win the division and host a playoff game. You got to win that game against the Carolina Panthers, bruh. But I'm going to tell you right now, Arthur Smith's job might be that seat might give you getting a little bit warmer. That Desmond Ridder kid, I thought he was trash in college, let alone in the pros. So I don't expect him to be around too much longer. Not to mention they ran Marcus Mariota out of town last year. But I think Marcus Mariota is better than Desmond Ridder. And you got a whole bunch of weapons on offense that you just ain't using. So that was just a poo-poo, disappointing loss for the Atlanta Falcons. But also, that's a loss that can definitely have the owner, Arthur Blank, look at the team and be like, oh, what the hell's going on around here? So that's a game that can get a coach fired. And I would not be shocked if Arthur Smith is not back at the end of this year, not to mention Desmond Ridder. My next set of losers, hey, man, the Dallas Cowboys. And like I said, I am not the biggest. Here's the thing about Cowboys. You either love them or you hate them. I'm on the boat where I'm neutral. If they winning, cool. If they losing, cool. Like, it's not a needle. They don't move the needle for me. It's not a make it or break it type of fandom for me. I know a lot of people say that the Cowboys have the worst fans in football. I beg to differ. But I think that the fact that they are America's team, they get a lot of traction and a lot of the spotlight. But for them to go up to Buffalo this past weekend and lay an egg the way they did, in a very, very make it or break it game for them this season, where they didn't have nothing to show for, I'm kind of on the fence where I'm like, okay, I see why fans get annoyed with Cowboys fans, or I see why people are so frustrated with Cowboys if you are a fan of them. They win all of these games where they're smoking everybody at the house. They smoked the Philadelphia Eagles. They had a very, very competitive game on a Thursday night against the Seahawks. And they go to Buffalo and they get smoked by a Buffalo team where they cool, but they also got their own internal issues right now. So I want to say the word for me is disappointed, but I'm just like, damn, I see why people don't be rocking with Cowboys, or I see why it is what it is with them boys. But hey, I got a homie that's been on my bumper about CeeDee Lamb. And I said, no, you know, CeeDee Lamb had a great 3-game stretch. I believe it was with the Eagles and the other two teams that I'm drawing a blank that he's played earlier this season or throughout the year. I said earlier this season, I was like, CeeDee Lamb is not a true number one to me. I said, I need more. I need him to actually produce in big time games. He produced in the first Philadelphia game, and he also produced again last weekend against the Eagles when they smoked him. He played a pretty good game against the Seahawks, but my thing is, yeah, that's cool and all, but I need you to do this in the playoffs. I need you to do this when the light's shining brightest. And granted, he didn't have a good game just because Dak Prescott didn't have a good game and the offensive line had issues, but the little bit of, you know, targets that he had, he didn't look good. So I'm telling y'all right now, until I see CeeDee Lamb go off in the playoffs, I'm not putting up there in the top five. He's not a top five wide receiver for me right now. Like, yeah, his stats look good, but I'm not putting him in my top five because he seems to be as dim as you can be when the lights need to be shining the brightest. It's almost like he ain't paid the power bill. So CeeDee Lamb, and this is coming from a place who I like CeeDee Lamb. I'm a huge fan of CeeDee Lamb, but it's just like, bro, you don't never show up when you need to show up, and you always missing in formation, and I got a problem with that. So Cowboys, that was a really, really disappointing loss. My next set are going to the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers, that's a game that you got to win, flat out. You should be able to win that game. It is what it is. The fact that you can't even beat the Buccaneers at home, it's supposed to be, you know, frozen tundra ain't with the frozen tundra no more. If you got Baker Mayfield out here throwing up John Madden football 2024 numbers, you got a problem. That defense was supposed to be really, really good, but after that loss that they had against the Bears, Last week, I'm just looking at the Packers a little bit different. This is a team that beat the Chiefs, that were having a nice, that was building a little momentum. Jordan Love, I mean, I'm not buying, you know, I'm not getting off the bandwagon with Jordan Love. I still think he's going to be able to thrive in this league, but that's a game that you got to win to try to keep within arm's length with the Detroit Lions. So that was really, really disappointing. And my next set are I got two more. The Jacksonville Jaguars are my next set of losers. They're on a three-game losing streak. Like I said, they're on the same lines with Detroit Lions. They cool, but ain't nobody taking them serious. They had a chance to win that game against Baltimore. Baltimore didn't play their best game, but that Baltimore defense is ferocious, and they ugly up games because I'm not going to say their offense is limited, but they don't put their offense in positions where they need to be taking a lot of risks. So Jacksonville, I thought that they would win, or I thought it would be a little bit more competitive game, but it wasn't. And then my last set are the New York Jets. And I hope this is going to put the Jets out of the misery this year. This is their 13th year that they have not made the playoffs, 13th consecutive year that they have not made the playoffs. But man, you getting shut out at home, that's not a good look by the Miami Dolphins, where there was no Tyreek Hill. Jalen Waddle got hurt, even though he sat there and busted y'all over the head for 140 some yards catching the ball when there was some scuttlebutt of what's going on with Miami, especially after they came off that loss against the Tennessee Titans last Monday. For them all to just have 0 points, that's a bad look. So I don't know what's going on with the Jets, but there's got to be some soul searching that needs to take place. So those are your Week 15 winners and losers, and we about to change the pace and do these NBA fast break takes. So last week, it was, I want to say, Tuesday. Yeah, it had been Tuesday. Tuesday, Draymond Green went and decided to have his own little UFC party and slap my man Jokic from the Phoenix Sun upside the head. Now, everybody knows Draymond Green is my favorite player. I've had people say, oh, you don't, you know, if it was somebody else, you'd be going ham sandwich. Well, first of all, there's been a lot of things where I'm like, all right, I can try to defend Draymond. Even if for those people who wanted, and I wasn't one of them, but when he wanted to choke out Rudy Gobert, I said, hey, man, if you want to defend him, I'm not going to knock it. I thought it was a little overboard. But this backhanded fist that my man did to Jokic last week was inexcusable. There is, and I was talking to somebody about this where he was asking, like, what do I think? And I said, well, whatever the league wants to do at this point, you know, Draymond's going to have to roll with it. And my question was going to be, you know, we've seen indefinite suspensions within the last calendar year. What's the flat earth dude name that plays for the Dallas Mavericks? Number two for the Dallas Mavericks, when he was out here being, you know, saying anti-Semitic things while he was with the Brooklyn Nets. I think he ended up getting an indefinite suspension where he had to hit a whole bunch of benchmarks. And I think the suspension only ended up being like five or seven games. And then you got Ja Morant, who wanted to play with guns, which I'm going to talk about him in this next segment. He ended up getting an indefinite suspension, but they also gave him time served the first time around before he got this 25-game suspension, where I think it with including time served, he ended up missing about 7 or 8 games. Draymond Green already got suspended 5 games for choking out Rudy Gobert like 10 days ago. Like, he just came back. This was like his 3rd or 4th game back. And now you got Draymond Green hitting people with spinning back fists, and now they're saying it's indefinite. There's been word on the street that and I think an article came out with NBA Today or Bleacher Report saying that Draymond Green will be missing at least 3 weeks. Okay, that's cool and all, but the thing about this is, do we know that do we know if Draymond Green is really going to regret what he did? And if you're talking about 3 weeks worth of time, that's about, depending on how you look at it, about 7 or 8 games. About 7 or 8 games if you're talking about a three weeks time frame. So they already missed 2 games. I'm assuming they play tomorrow. They'll probably play tomorrow, which is Tuesday, and they might play Thursday, and then they'll play Monday on Christmas. So that's 1 week where he's already missed 2 games. Next week he has 1 game on Monday. He's probably going to play again, or the Warriors are probably going to play again Wednesday night, maybe a Friday, Saturday. I don't have their schedule up in front of me. So that's another 6 games. So he's probably going to miss about 10 games if we're talking about it at a minimum 3 weeks. So 10-game suspension, that's about what they should have did. But I think this hurts the Warriors more because they are in a lose-lose situation. I think they were going to be a lose-lose situation with him. I do think that he does make the team better. However, this is Jonathan Kuminga. Come on down. You're on the next contestant on The Price is Right. This is your time to shine, brother. And I think this is a time for Steve Kerr to gauge what his confidence level is with JK. And he could put JK in the starting lineup. He can kind of let JK do what he's supposed to do. And within those 3 weeks, he should have a good sample size to know if he wants to keep him or if he wants to flip him. But I'm telling you right now, the Warriors need to figure out what they want to do. Do they want to trade, you know, poo-poo away Steph Curry's probably last good prime year? And I always keep saying his last good, and then next year, the very next year, he's still performing at an all-time level. So I'm going to be very, very, I'm treading water when I say his last good prime year, because next year he still might go off. But they got to make moves. I know that they have moved Andrew Wiggins to the bench, and they have put Moody and Kuminga in the starting lineup. We shall see how this plays out, but the Warriors' bench needs to get bolstered up a little bit. I know Wiggins came off the bench last night and had 20-some-odd points. Klay Thompson looks like he's on a three-game streak where he's had over 20-some-odd points as well. If Klay Thompson is going to continue to perform at this level, then okay, you got one problem solved, but that does not solve the other problem on the other wing with Andrew Wiggins. Yes, Moses Moody is good, but you also have a size issue where Kevon Looney, I'm not going to say he's playing bad, but I mean, at the same time, he ain't but like 6'6", you know, with stuffed shoes. He out here getting bodied up when you got to play against dudes like AD, Jokic, hell, even Luka to a certain extent. You know, you kind of need size, and if you want to go to the Eastern Conference, you got to deal with Embiid, Freaky Greeky, Kristaps Porzingis to a certain extent. You're going to have to deal with a lot of different size, and you know, it's time for the Warriors to figure out what they want to go do. Do they want to go get a Zach LaVine? Do they want to go see what's going on with a DeMar DeRozan? Do they want to go see what's going on with Pascal Siakam? But there's a lot of different options out there, but they need to pull the trigger now before they get all the way behind that eight ball. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see. But as far as Draymond Green goes, what he did, it was inexcusable. And he going to, you know, he going to have to learn his lesson one way or another. And I get it. You know, the league wants to change their little bad boy image, but also at the same time, the league ain't doing no favors for themselves. You know, you got John Morant, who's supposedly eligible to come back, I believe, tomorrow night after serving his 25-game suspension. You have that little black cloud hanging around your head. Let's hope that he's learned his lesson, but we thought he'd learned his lesson the last two times, and he cut it up. So, you know, I was talking to a homie, and if you look at all of the social media, like if you look at the SportsCenter Instagram page or Bleacher Report, if you look at it, well, as far as especially NBA content, the NBA stuff that they be posting is never about basketball. It's always about some crazy stories that ain't got nothing to do with basketball. If you think about what is taking place, that is taking precedent in front of all of our eyes within the last year, think about it. You got James Harden that wanted to be traded twice. You had Kevin Durant that demanded a trade. You had number two, the flat earther, wanted to demand a trade. You had Ben Simmons, who just ain't playing basketball. You have had Kawhi Leonard not playing. You had Draymond Green out here doing what he was doing. You had, like I said, John Morant out here toting guns. I can go on and on and on. Hell, even last week when Giannis Antetokounmpo dropped 65 points, we worried more about a damn game basketball where people want to fight over a used game ball than the actual feat of him dropping 63 points. Like, the NBA has gotten so petty, so high schoolish, more about what's going on off the court than on the court. I don't even be knowing what the hell is going on a night-in, night-out basis. I promise you, the NBA is my favorite sport. That is the league that I probably cover the most close, like that I follow the closest, that I have more of social ins and outs with my peoples, my connections. It's probably the NBA more so the NFL. And I'd be looking around these people and I'd be like, yo, why can't we just talk about what's going on in the league? Like, we ain't talked about how the LA Clippers have seemed to kind of get it together with James Harden. We ain't talked about how the New York Knicks have been having an interesting season. We've talked about everything going on off the court than we are talking about on the court. There should be no reason why off the A block, we more worried about a damn used game ball getting into almost a fist fight over a game ball. That just doesn't make sense to me. And people who are saying that the NBA has gone soft, I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. And it's been a very, very hard follow. Not to mention, you got a 20-point lead in the first quarter that you can't even keep. And next thing you know, the game is, you know, the other team then came back and won. So there's just a lot. Scoring is up where there's no defense being played. And there's just a lot of things that I'm just like, man, this is a good time for the NBA to capitalize on Christmas Day, but they're probably not going to be able to capitalize on it because there is some good football games coming on Monday, y'all. You got the Raiders and the Chiefs. That's a divisional rival game with the Chiefs being the defending Super Bowl champion. Can they figure it out? Like I said, you got the Ravens and the Niners in the nightcap. You got a lot of different things that are taking place, and the NBA right now is just falling behind because it's just out of control. Like it is just purity bedlam in the NBA when it comes down to just they more worried about their likes than they are about the actual game. And that's the part that's really, really sad, is that they too worried about how many likes they got. They too more worried about they doggone Instagram followers and this and that. And then, you know, so, you know, with the new TV deals coming up pretty soon, I hope Adam Silver gets a grip on what he got going on. He could be cool with the players all he wants, but at the end of the day, he's going to have to figure out what's the bottom line, and these owners are going to start looking at him a little bit sideways sooner than later, and he don't even know what's going to happen to him. So, like I said, John Morant, can he save the Grizzle? The Grizzle right now, I believe, are 6-14. It is a lot of basketball left, but in that stacked Western Conference right now, where you got the Pelicans at the number 10 spot, you got the Houston Rockets that have been a shocker, you got the Timberwolves and the Thunder at the 1-2 seed, I don't know how the Grizzle, I don't know if there's enough room for the Grizzle to come back and try to leap some of these teams. So, John Morant, you picked the wrong time to come back this year, but if you can make it happen, this is where you got to win 7 out of 10, 6 out of 10, and go off on a nice little win streak where you can kind of start building up, and hopefully some of these teams you could start praying for their downfall. But the way the West is looking right now, I don't know where they're going to be able to get in when they fit in. So we'll see what it is. But those are your NBA fast break takes. Like I said, I feel like we're talking more about everything going on off the court than we are talking about on the court. So hopefully that changes after Christmas, but it ain't looking good. But before we get up out of here, like I said, this is Eric Compton. You've been listening to the Sports Business Podcast, a Spotify original. You can find me on all platforms, Instagram, Twitter/X. You can also email the show. You can also find me on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Anchor, all those good places. Just Google me, you can find me. But before we get up out of here, we got to talk about the dummy of the day. I've always been a key component of Thursday night football being very, very strange. I think I have been to 2 Thursday night games this season in particular, which is weird the way my schedule is set up, but went to 2 Thursday night games this year. Thought about, actually, I was kicking the idea around of going to that Raiders-Chargers Thursday night game. Didn't pull the trigger on it, but I was literally watching. Well, my daughter, let me paint you a picture. So I'm sitting there. Everybody knows at the house. The Raiders are on. Leave me alone. So we all sit in the living room. The Raiders game is on. I want to say the Raiders are already up 14-0 halfway through the fourth quarter. Sophia, my youngest, is 6, so she's reading. She's reading in school. So she's telling me, she's trying to read me a story that she was learning in school. And I'm like, all right, like I gotta do the dad thing and be cool with it. But at the same time, I'm like, hey, man, can you wait till the game is over? But anyways, she's reading me the story. I look up and the score is 21-0. I'm trying to figure out that it took Dean Spanos to finally figure out that he needed to fire Brandon Staley after the Las Vegas Raiders kicked y'all asses. Like, that was your deciding factor? It wasn't the deciding factor of 2 years ago when it was the final game of the season, where if both the Raiders and the Chargers would have just had a tie, that both teams would have made the playoffs. And the coach of the Raiders at that time, Rich Bisaccia, said, yeah, we're going to go ahead and go for the tie, and both teams can make the playoffs. And Brandon Staley's dumbass didn't realize what was going on and costed him the game. Okay, you didn't want to fire him then. You didn't want to fire him last season where they were playing it. He played all of his starters in a meaningless game and got Mike Williams toe up from the flow up and ended up missing the playoffs. When that same playoffs, he was up 28-0, and I kid you not, I kid you not, I was texting my homeboys in a group chat, and I said, the Jacksonville Jaguars will come back and win this game. With them, even as bad as Trevor Lawrence played, I think he threw 4 interceptions in the first quarter, or in the first half, and I still had complete faith where I was like, it's the Chargers. They're going to lose that game. There's no way they're going to be able to hold that lead. And he still was able to come back and coach this season. And then there was all these different snafus where the Chargers just looked like the most dysfunctional team. And it took for the Las Vegas Raiders, who I believe this season has only put up more than, I think, two or three times. They've put up more than 25 points this season. And it took for you to see a 63-piece, all drums, Louisiana rub, that type of special for you to be like, oh yeah, we need to go ahead and fire Brandon Staley. I'm gonna tell y'all right now, Justin Herbert, I believe, will be on his fourth coach, either his third or fourth coach going into his fourth or fifth year in the league now, next year. I'm gonna give you all the quarterback, and I'm not saying that they are the same. I think Justin Herbert is a way more better quarterback that has way more potential, has way more upside. But Derek Carr, when he was with the Oakland / Las Vegas Raiders, had mad coaches. I believe his first 5 years, he had five different offensive coordinators. And we all know how the Derek Carr story ended up playing out. So if I am Dean Spanos and I just backed up a Brinks truck at Justin Herbert's house, this next hire, yo damn ownership may be on the line. Because if you bring somebody else in here and they can't get it together, not only are you literally wasting Justin Herbert's career, you may end up putting the kiss of death on that dude's career, because you couldn't bring in Sean Payton. And I know everyone's talking about bringing in Bill Belichick. I would not touch Bill Belichick with a 10-foot pole. Like I said last week, he ain't been good. If you look at it, look at his resume outside of Tom Brady being there, he ain't been good. And this dude is too militant where he wants to be able to have full reins. And I don't think he has drafted or developed a Pro Bowl caliber player out of his own draft, I think, since like Deion Branch. So unless you plan on bringing a GM in there, I would not give Bill Belichick full reins, because you're going to be having New England's Patriots, Weston. And we already know how this whole Patriots business model does not work if you are not outside of the New England area. So that would be a stupid idea. But the fact that it took all of these different occurrences where you could have just fired this man at the end of last season, brought in Sean Payton, where it sounded like Sean Payton was really, really interested in that job, and he kind of had to settle for the whole Denver Broncos gig. If you could replay that over, ain't no telling what the Chargers would have been at this year. The Chargers have the highest payroll defense with Derwin James, Bosa, Khalil Mack. And now this year, coming up on the offseason, I think they have the smallest payroll, or they're going to have the closest. They're going to be hitting the salary cap very, very hard. We're not going to be able to make any moves. So they're going to have to shuffle some things around. But the Chargers, you got to be the dummy of the day. I love my Raiders, but ain't no way in hell you can go ahead and give up 63 like that with a rookie quarterback, the leading rusher in the league not being there, and you're missing key components on the defense. There's just no way you can let that happen. Like, that was one of the most bizarre games I've ever seen. And this is coming from a diehard Raider fan. Like, yeah, I was happy they won, but even I was looking around like, hey man, this ain't supposed to happen. It ain't supposed to be going down like this. And they made it happen. So the LA Chargers, Dean Spanos, that is the most dysfunctional job, however, the most sought-after job that is out there. So they got to get it together, man. They really do. Because other than that, they in for a long hurting. So once again, you've been listening to the Sports Business Podcast. We do the show once a week. We will not do a show next Monday. Like I said, it is Christmas. I will be chilling. We may do a show Tuesday morning. But until then, y'all have a happy holidays. Enjoy your loved ones. Check up on your peoples. Make sure you hit them up. Tell them you love them. Squash that beef. Until then, we are out of here.